Read it quickly. Everybody look at your own translation as we read. 77s are decreed upon your people, upon the holy city, to finish transgressions, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore it and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince, shall be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It shall be built with street and moat even in troublesome times. And after the 62 sevens shall the anointed one be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, even unto the end shall be war. Desolations are determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 seven, and in the midst of this week he will cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. And upon the wings of an abomination shall come one that makes desolate, even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Now, as you look at your translations in this reading, you see there are some differences in what's being said. And we will explain these as we go along. We probably have another 2 weeks this Sunday and next Sunday on this passage of Scripture, and then we will go on. We will discuss some of the elements in here. We'll have a quick review of what we've covered because we did have a break last week. A quick review, and then we'll get into the passage itself. Now, on your study guide, if you'll notice on the very first question, we can date the year of the vision. It was around 536 B.C. The 70 weeks are almost, or the 70 years of Babylonian captivity are almost up. That's point one on your study guide. We can date it. Daniel is praying. He says 70 years up. Point two on your study guide, what we learn from verses 1 and 2 is just simply that Daniel was a Bible believer, a reader and a Bible believer. You notice what he says in verse 2. He says, I, Daniel, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood the books, by the books, the number of years whereof the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah the prophet for the accomplishing of the desolations of Jerusalem, even 70 years. So it is recorded through the prophet Jeremiah. Daniel knew the book or the writings of Jeremiah, and he understood that the captivity that Jeremiah talked about, the Babylonian captivity, was 70 years. So Daniel was not only a Bible reader, he was a Bible believer, okay? Now, your third point on there, Gabriel is sent. He is sent to give understanding and wisdom to the vision. Understanding and wisdom to the vision that Daniel received concerning the 77s. Point four on your study guide. I'm going kind of quick, but this is all just a review, and I'm sorry for those of you who weren't here. But this is the way it is. I'm sorry. At the beginning, point four on your study guide, at the beginning of Daniel's prayer, he is praying. Now, notice Daniel is praying. 70 years are up. It's time to go home. But at the beginning of his prayer and supplication, he receives another vision, a vision of 77s. Some of your translations will say 70 weeks. Some of your translations will say 70 years of weeks. Some of your translations will say 490 years. It is 77s. And you'll understand why we need to emphasize that as we go along. 70 years are up, but a new decree, and notice it is upon the holy city, which is Jerusalem, and upon Daniel's people, which are the Judeans. Don't miss that. Let me emphasize that one more time. The 77 decree is upon the holy city, Jerusalem, and it's upon the people of Daniel, upon your people. So that would be the Judeans. Important that you understand that. The vision that Daniel receives takes in all the elements that must be fulfilled up to the end of the Jewish national commonwealth. At the end of this vision, there will be no more Mosaic constitution, no more law of Moses. There will be no more biblical Judaism. At the end of this vision, the life that the Jew knew will be over. 77s are decreed. Point five on your study guide, the two basic views of the 77s. You have the chronological view. The chronological view. This view will take up two camps. In other words, there's two groups of people that take up the chronological view. Now, in saying chronological view, bear in mind, nobody takes a literal 70 weeks. Nobody takes a literal 70 weeks. But the chronological view are those who take the idea of the day for a year. In other words, there are 7 days in a week. Seven times 70, 490 years. So a day for a year. Only two times in Scripture, Numbers 14 and verse 34, and Ezra chapter 4 and verse 6, only two times in Scripture, these two passages of Scripture, is the day for the year operative. There is no other place in Scripture that says that the day for a year is operative. So this is assumption. Of the two camps, you have the premillennialist. That would be your writings such as Walbert, Lindsay, Hagee, Jack Van Impe, David Jeremiah, and others. This, they take the premillennial view. Of the day for a year camp, who are not premillennialists, that would be your Haley's Bible Handbook, O.T. Alice, I think E.J. Young, Paul Butler, and others. Others who have written works or commentators upon this. Day for a year, those are the two camps in the chronological. And then the second view is the non-chronological view, who takes the 77s as symbolic. Takes the 77 as symbolic. Those of you who are in my class, you remember, we've got the day for a year, the two camps. You got the amillennials and you have the premillennials. The amillennials begin with the decree of Ezra chapter 7 verses 1 and following. And that would be in the year 458 B.C. 458 B.C. The premillennial view takes the view of the decree of Jeremiah chapter 2 verses 1 and following. And that would be in the year 445. The first view is Ezra chapter 7, 1 and following. The premillennial view is the 445. That would be Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 1 and following. As you look at the day for a year, you got 458. Now, you got seven sevens to build a city. You got 62 sevens. That makes it 69 total, 69 sevens, or 69 weeks according to some of your translations. To take four, that would be 483 years. Take 483 years, take 4 5/8 for 483 years, and you have 25 AD, 25-26 AD, which is about the time that Jesus begins his ministry. That's about the time that Jesus begins his ministry. Objection to that view, once again, there is no proof that we are to begin or that we are to have a day for a year. No proof that the day for the year theory is operative. Point two, another thing, the vision requires 7 weeks. 7 weeks or seven sevens to complete the city. Day for a year would be 49 years, which would bring us to the year 444 BC. No, excuse me. Yeah, 444 BC. 49, this would be 449 BC. Got too many numbers floating through my head. Let me back up. 49 weeks or to build a city would be 49. 49 years would have the city completed in 409 BC and not 444 BC, which is required. Nehemiah visited the city around 444. 52 days later, the walls are completed around the city. So the city was completed around 444. So there's one objection to it. There's no positive proof that we should begin with the decree of Ezra, chapter 7. Also, if you read Ezra chapter 7, you will see that Ezra is dealing with the building of the temple and not with the city. The decree was by Artaxerxes, and we know from Isaiah 44 and 45 that through the prophet Isaiah, Jehovah says that Cyrus, he shall be build my city. So those are some of the objections to the amillennial view. Any questions? All right. The second chronological view begins with the 445 decree, and that's Nehemiah chapter 2. If you notice, this is the premillennial view. They have the decree of 445, seven sevens to build the city, 62 weeks to the city. Everybody look at your translation. Look at verse 27. No, verse 26. I apologize. Verse 26. So you have seven sevens, and then you have 62 sevens. When is Messiah cut off in your translation? Before, after, in, or what? After? After? Does anybody have in or around? Okay. So, according to your translation, and everybody has a different translation in here, the Messiah, the anointed one, which is the Messiah, he is cut off after the 62 weeks. The premillennial view has him cut off at the end of the 62 weeks, not after, during the 62 weeks. They missed the cross. If they go by the day of the year of business, The cross happens in 38 AD, so they missed the cross, which happens around 30 AD. But they have Messiah cut off in the 62nd week, or the 69th week, 70, 62, 69. They had it cut off because he doesn't set up his reign here upon earth, which is what they require the Bible to tell us. At the crucifixion of Jesus, according to their doctrine, he is cut off, and then there's a gap here. At the cutting off of Jesus, God's prophetic clock stops. Now, to understand what I'm saying here, you must understand their position. Their position is that all prophecy, not all scripture, all prophecy must be literally fulfilled. If it hasn't been literally fulfilled yet, it will be literally fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. So therefore, there were still prophecies left to be fulfilled. So at the crucifixion of Christ, at the rejection of Jesus by the Jews, God's prophetic clock stops, and then there is a gap here. And then there will be a rapture. And then you will have the seven sevens, of which one half is 3 1/2 years, is peace, and then you'll have 3 1/2 years of the great tribulation. Then Jesus returns, and then he has his 1,000 year reign. That's their teaching. Now, if you remember, those of you in this class, those of you who had been in this class, this is kind of confusing. Though the reason why we're studying this, the way that we're studying it, is simply because we're doing it for evangelistic purposes. There are a lot of people out there who believe wholeheartedly in what they've been taught concerning this view. Question? Yeah.
The way I understood it was that you have 7 years to redeem yourself. You're left on earth. Christians are taken to heaven at the rapture. Is that
right?
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, you have 7 years left to redeem yourself. It's going to be hard, but you can do it.
Yes, you can. It's going to be hard because here's the reason why it's going to be hard, according to their doctrine. At the rapture of the church, there is no Holy Spirit. There is no church, there is no preaching to redeem mankind. That's why it's going to be hard. That's why it's going to be hard. Now, as we look at their view, the question has to come up, what is this gap here? This is what they call the church age, what we're living in now, the church age. In other words, the church was an afterthought. Jesus was to come. He was to set up his kingdom here upon earth. He was to rule. But because of the rejection of Jesus by the Jews, God stopped the great clock, and now we have the church age. They say the church was an afterthought. Now, I'm going to take that position. Defeat me in that argument. How do I know that? How can you prove to me that the church was not an afterthought?
Ephesians is all about it. It's
okay.
The eternal kingdom.
Okay, you got Ephesians.
This is before the foundation of the world. This was God's plan. It was his predetermined plan.
Okay, Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. Give me another passage. Oh, come on. I gave it to you the last time we were together. Somebody turn to Luke 24. Yeah, 44 through to 49. Luke 24, everybody turn there.
And also those passages, the kingdom passages work too, right?
Yes, sir.
When you go
Yes?
It's here. It's not later. It's now. So I think the kingdom passage is applying to that.
The kingdom passages will apply. All right, let's put it together. All right. In 44, he said, and he said, Jesus spake unto them, their disciples, these are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written, notice, in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the psalm concerning me. So there are passages in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the psalm concerning Jesus. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds that they may understand the scripture. And, verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written. Where is it written? In the scriptures. In the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the psalm. Concerning Jesus. In, written in this, that they may understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. Notice that conjunction and. There's several of them in these scriptures. They carry the thought together. That's the purpose of it. Where is repentance and remissions of sin preached in the name of Jesus? Somebody say the church and we'll go on. Okay, the church. So there is another argument or another debatable point that you can bring up to those who come up with the church age. That the church was an afterthought. You got the Ephesian passage. You got the kingdom passages. You've got Acts 1 and Luke. So you have passages that give you a solid foundation that you can work from when you're discussing these passages of the scripture with people who take this position. During the time of the rapture, though, when the church is up, there's no Holy Spirit, no church, no preaching, and yet mankind can still find his way to heaven, there's 3.5 years. Of peace, and then there's 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And I know it varies a little bit in each doctrine, but that's an overview of it. There's a covenant. In this passage of Scripture, there's another one. There's a prince of the people. He makes a covenant according to them. He breaks that covenant. This is our friend, Antichrist. This is the Antichrist who breaks the covenant, caused the Great Tribulation. What's the biblical definition of the term Antichrist? Somebody say 1 John, the epistles of John. Thank you. Okay. The epistles of John make it very clear that the definition he uses is about 4 times in his epistle. The definition of Antichrist is one who denies that Jesus comes in the flesh. That's your biblical definition. In 1 John chapter 2, he will say that Antichrist has come, and there are many Antichrists, and they have come out from amongst us. So definitely he's talking about those who are of an apostate religion, not a super individual that's going to fight. Now, but let's press on with the goal. 445, 7, they missed the cross. That's okay. It doesn't matter. Gap, we got a church age because church was an afterthought. Then we have a rapture. Then we have 7 years, 3.5, which is peace, 3.5, which is the Great Tribulation. And then the Lord comes again, and he sets up his 1,000-year reign. Now, if you remember when we were here last time, the question was asked, where does he get the 1,000-year reign from? Turn to Revelation 21. And as soon as we read, or Revelation 20, I'm sorry. soon as we read this passage of Scripture, the overview has been caught up with, and we'll get on with the lesson of the day. I got 45 more minutes to go, okay. Revelation 20, in verse 4. And I saw the thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and for the word of God, such as worship not the beast, neither his image, nor receive not the mark on their foreheads, and upon their hand. And they lived, and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead should not, until 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. Over these the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, this is where they get the 1,000-year reign. But who does he say reigns? Look at your text. Who does he say? Who is said to reign for 1,000 years? Look at it. It's clear.
The souls that were beheaded for the witness of
Jesus. All right, so the people of God reign with Christ 1,000 years. They do not say that Christ reigns 1,000 years. There is no time limit to the reign of Christ. It is those who were of the people of God who were martyred for the purpose of God. They reign with him 1,000 years. Go ahead.
Let me make sure I'm understanding. So after the 7 years, you're saying that the 1,000-year reign comes and it's the people with Christ for the 1,000 years.
Yeah, but the 1,000-year, according to their doctrine, don't let me confuse you. The 1,000 years, according to their doctrine, is Christ's reign here upon earth before he takes them all up to heaven. Not that they reign with him 1,000 years. Okay? They teach 1,000-year reign of Jesus. And they get it from Revelation 20, which clearly states that they're talking about the reign of God's people with Christ 1,000 years. One other point on this before we get too caught up in it. Revelation is a symbolic book. From Revelation chapter 4, 1 to Revelation 22, 5, we have a number of pictures painted to present the truth to the people of God. You look at a passage of Scripture like this, I see a picture, what's the truth? And what the truth is here is that simply, no matter how Rome persecutes the church, the people of God will not be defeated. And though they may die in the faith or for the faith, they will be with Christ. The 1,000 years is not to be taken literal. It is symbolic. If you remember, when we discuss prophetic language, we point out numbers and prophecy that mean something. Numbers and words in figurative speech, apocalyptic speech, or prophetic speech, however you want to call it, these take on meanings that go way beyond the ordinary. When means when in regular speech, but in apocalyptic or figurative speech, when means more than when. Numbers mean more than numbers. The number 10 in apocalyptic speech talks about completeness. The number 10 times 100 is 1,000. So what do we have here? We have completeness to the utmost. There cannot be any doubt. So when you read apocalyptic speech, prophetic speech, or figurative speech, however you want to talk about it, or whatever you call it, realize that words and numbers take on special meaning. That pictures speak of truths in such a way, in a graphic way, that it stays with the mind. In Daniel chapter 7, we had four beasts. Why four beasts? Because they stayed with the mind. Horns speak of kings, kingdoms. Why horns? Because you can see the picture. It stays with the mind. It's graphic. So when you're reading these passages of Scripture like this, understand that a picture is being painted. What's the truth? So that will help you in these passages of Scripture. Okay. Any questions so far on this? Okay. So the last point, if you look at verse 27 of chapter 9, and then we'll go on to the symbolic view. The one who causes sacrifices and oblations to cease, the premillennials will say, is the Antichrist. He is the one who makes the covenant with the people of God. And of course, we know that's not true either. All right. So that's the view on the day for a year theory in both camps. The amillennials and the premillennials.
Ed, I don't think all the premillennials agree with all of that, the way you laid that out. I think some of them see it differently. I was taught a little differently on that. Sorry. Always got to be one, right?
You know, you got Wednesday night class, right? Okay.
Take it easy on me, okay? I was just going to say that when you talk about the thousand-year reign, Christ didn't. I was taught differently that actually we're living during that time now, and that Satan is going to come back after 7 years, because that's what I was taught.
Yeah. Well, evidently, you're the one that taught you didn't know his view very well. Okay. Now, in the premillennial camp, there are different views. There are different views. I gave you the general one, the one that you get from Lindsay Walbert and guys like that. Okay. Now, Walbert's dead. Lindsay should be, but he's still around. Maybe there's still hope for him yet.
I just remember as a young kid being scared to death, as a young man, and when the preacher would say, hey, there's 1,000 years in there where we're in that now. And we go back in history, because this is what where they came up with the idea that we're in the end times. You go back in history of 1,000 years, we don't see of anything bad really happening within the world in history. So that's about to happen any minute.
Okay. Now, on that view right there, let's just ruin the rest of my class, Ron. On that view right there, there are views taken the seven churches of Asia. Okay? There's a seven churches of Asia view. This is Hagee and others like him. Each seven church depicts a church age or a period of time in man's history. We are now living in the Laodicean age. That's the seventh church. The rapture is coming. And now we're almost ready to be taken up. What I'm presenting to you is the general view of what most of the premillennialists teach. I work with a guy. He takes the position that we are in the Laodicean age. The rapture is about to happen. Of course, the rapture was supposed to happen back in 1988. But, you know, because God's prophetic clock is stopped, we can...
That was about the time. Yeah. It was there.
Yeah. So, the rapture was supposed to happen in 88. It didn't happen. So now, because God's prophetic clock is stopped, the church age has extended, but the rapture is going to come. Now, once it comes, and the great tribulation, all that, Jesus will come back. And now, this is the general view. It is going to be that Jesus is going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, Jesus is going to bring back the Mosaic law, the Mosaic sacrificial system, and things like that. Now, if he's right, then we're no longer saved. Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot what? Save us. So, There is a little problem with that. And even Walbert in his book, The Millennial Kingdom, he will point out, well, this is kind of symbolic, much like the Lord's Supper is symbolic of the Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples. Now, I don't know if you caught what I just said. If you remember earlier in the class, I said one of the reasons why they believe the way that they believe, because all prophecy of Scripture must be literally fulfilled. Once Walbert in his book, and I've got the book at home, once Walbert said in his book that this is symbolic, what has he done? He destroyed his doctrine. Because it must be literally fulfilled according to prophecy. So see, they even they will make a mistake and trip their own selves up. You just let people talk enough. And that's why I try to get classroom access.
Well, I apologize, I missed your class.
That's quite all right.
And isn't that also why today there's so much in media and in the news about from Christian groups supporting Israel, literally supporting them over there? Because they believe that's where Christ is
going to set up his reign.
He's going to set up his reign.
And if you remember in earlier politics, not the politics today because of the, I won't go into all that, but if you remember earlier in politics, a lot of our own political decisions were made on the fact that Jesus was going to come back and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. So a lot of our earlier, now not today. Today the politics, even from the Jews and others, I won't say New York Jews, but there's others, they don't want anything to do with Jerusalem. And it's a complex thing. It really is. I try to make it as simple as I can, but you got Ron in your class, and you just can't do nothing. All right. Any other questions?
I got one more.
Sure.
I always think about 1,000 years. It's a fascinating study, this whole study. But passages like in the Psalms, and I'm not even remember what psalm it was, where it says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yes.
1,000. So are we going to take that literally there? Of course not.
Yeah.
We understand there's more than 1,000 hills in this world. Does God only own 1,000? No, he owns it all.
Right.
He's got authority over it all. It's complete. There's, as you said, there is no question.
Yeah.
So you can even interpret that from other passages of scriptures in the Bible where 1,000 is mentioned.
The symbolism is there, yeah. Another thing on that too, while we're killing 3 more minutes. There is a general view through the premillennialists that because how bad things are in the world today, it's proof that Christ is not reigning. You know, I think it was Lindsay in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. He points out that, you know, how can we say Christ is reigning, looking at the world around us and how difficult and how dangerous and how sinful it is. Because their idea of Christ reigning would be a world in which there is no sin. Sin has been defeated. Now, has sin been defeated? Yes. But according to them, it would be a pure and unsinful world in their case. So there's a lot that they put in there, and you got to have help to understand, really, to understand what they're bringing out with. Now, very quickly, I want to bring us back on page now. Verse 24, 77s are determined or decreed. 77s. Now, the number 7 in apocalyptic speech carries the idea of perfection. Verse 24 says 77s are decreed. Verse 26, notice, desolations are determined. In other words, they are established. What did Peter in Acts 2 talk about Christ? It was under what? The determined counsel of God, right? Predetermined counsel of God. That Christ would go through all these things. So it's been determined. Verse 27, notice, it is to the full end, and that determined. To the full end. Whatever, now remember this, because we'll get into the elements, the nine elements next week, and then we'll summarize the whole vision and get everything correctly in our mind. But I want you to understand this. Whatever we do with the 77s, you must see it upon the holy city and upon Daniel's people. Okay? You must see. These are the ones. This view is the one that is embracing a desolation and a full end upon the city and upon Daniel's people. Now, the reason why I'm emphasizing that, some of your translations there at the end of verse 27 will talk about that it will be upon the desolate one or the one that makes desolate, and that's the view of the Antichrist. The 77s are upon the holy city and the people of Daniel. Okay? All right. We're going to stop there. Next week we'll pick up with the nine elements. We'll do the summary of the whole vision. And therefore, we will get this straight in our mind and be able to go out and evangelize the world. Thank you. God bless you.